I don't think there's anybody truly like him. He's in a class of his own.
He's dynamic. He has a live arm, can make all the throws.
Man, he got wheels, I can tell you that.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
He did it again. He made the defender look silly out in space.
That has a different dynamic to this offense.
Doug and Wolf talk Kyler Murray now.
Thanks for listening to Doug and Wolf this morning. Right now, Paul just walked into Paul's stall here in the Auction Community Studios, and you guys have probably looked at this, but it's not something that you're really going to think about or have known if somebody doesn't point it out to you. If I ask you who's leading the team in touchdowns, I think everybody would guess Kyler Murray pretty quick because of even if you don't know how many, it's 7 rushing touchdowns so far for Kyler Murray. But second place is Christian Kirk with back-to-back 2-touchdown performances. Granted, one of them's the cheesy pop pass, which I just can't stand that counts as a receiving touchdown against Dallas. But that's the rules.
I love it. Sprint.
He's got 2 touchdown receptions in 2 games in a row. He's second on the team with 5 touchdown receptions total. And we all talked about Kyler and D-Hop at the beginning of the year, but it does seem like there's a Kyler-Kirk chemistry for the Cardinals and
we
Cliff.
We got it. We get it.
That it does seem that it's beyond the point of developing. I'm not going to say it's here, but it's more than just, hey, look at these guys. I mean, there's a connection going on there right now that Kirk is becoming more special with every game.
By the way, I outed you with Aaron out in the newsroom that you told the story about scaring him near the doorway. So he's now looking for you at the break. I just want to let you know that I did cross paths with him. So that's number one. Number two, when it comes to Christian Kirk, I tell you what, D-Hop gets so much attention. Larry, obviously, on a first-name basis, not only in Arizona but around the league. So Christian Kirk, to me, has that ability to float a little bit under the radar and be the guy who can develop that chemistry with Kyler, can get down the seams, could be on those jet sweeps. He has obviously the young legs and the youth and the burst and runs the 4-4 something where he can leave guys in the dust. But he's a polished enough receiver as a route runner where he's effective in that capacity as well. To me, Christian Kirk could be like a Tyler Lockett. I look at Tyler Lockett, I'm like, you know what? That's the upside. That's the event. To have those 15 grabs for 200 yards and what Tyler Lockett did and have that kind of chemistry with Russell Wilson, that's where I see at the pinnacle where Christian Kirk could be ultimately, eventually, with Kyler.
You know, it's so interesting, Bully, because I don't know if Christian Kirk is the run-by guy that Tyler Lockett is. Tyler Lockett has got incredible, freaky speed. As a matter of fact, when he came out of college, he was in the freak show, as a matter of fact, ran a sub-4.3 when he came out. A sub-4.3. Now listen, Christian Kirk is not slow by any stretch of the imagination at 4.41. He's not slow at all. But Tyler Lockett, to me, is not the route runner that Christian Kirk is. I think Christian Kirk is a much better route runner than Tyler Lockett. I think Tyler Lockett just beats a lot of people. It's one of the reasons why they either send him deep or send him on the drag across the middle because you can't cover it. You can't cover it because he's so fast. Just let him run down the field or on a crossing route because it's one of the most difficult routes that a corner can cover is that crossing route.
I wonder if...
Oh, what the?
Are you serious?
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up and see the 6'8 left tackle who runs a 4.740.
You little pumpkin pie haircutted freak, come on.
He's big, he's mean, he's a 6'3, 220-pound safety. You will be mesmerized by their potential.
We are now seeing the beginnings of another stage of human evolution.
This is Wolf's Freak Show.
I'm about ready to get freaky up in here. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Freak number one, Tyler Lockett, wide receiver from Kansas State. 5'10", 182 pounds. Ladies and gentlemen, there are few human beings that have played in the National Football League that can break the 4'3 barrier, and Tyler Lockett is one of those players. This kid is the wind, ladies and gentlemen. He'll make defensive coordinators strap on the extra-large Huggies and bomb the Imodium AD. He'll stretch secondaries like the rack stretch ligaments, although he doesn't possess the size. Is not the perfect athlete and will not be drafted in the first round. The fact that he can run by some of the best athletes on the face of the planet pits him squarely in my freak show. There are people that have clocked him at a 4-2-1. A 4-2-1. And although most have him as a solid 4-3 guy, there are those that continue to believe that number is lower, ladies and gentlemen, much lower. This is the stuff of myth. This is the stuff of legend, where many dismiss these times, but there are hardcore NFL personnel men that believe nobody has been faster coming out of college, and nobody has been more of an enigma either. An enigma with short arms. He's only got 30-inch arms.
I dismiss that time.
At times, he'll run and separate with such ferocity, it makes grizzled NFL scouts shake their head. At other times, you'll see him get walked from behind. How is that possible? Volatility is the word with Tyler Lockett. But even the dispute over just how fast this human being is makes him even more of a freak. Tyler Lockett. Fact, fable, freak.
Wolf's Freak Show
with Doug and Wolf.
Guy didn't run a 4-2.
He did not run a 4-2. You're missing one sound effect. The lie detector in there went off.
There's a couple things you need to know about that. Number one.
I was actually told he ran a sub-4.
Paul and I had no idea that was coming this morning. That's number one.
No, I need another segment based on that.
That was
number two,
good.
For you, if you don't know what that was, we used to do Wolf's Freak Show. Since then, after Yoda left, we've significantly cut down the 45-second introduction promotion, as we've learned.
Exactly.
People
right.
don't have that attention span.
Right.
So that's been changed over the years. Secondly, the greatest part about that, Paul, you probably don't know this, is Yoda and I, Wolf came up with the idea of Freak Show, and we came up with, hey, let's do this beautiful part of the program where we just quickly highlight some guy that Wolf really likes. We came to it, we presented Wolf with the idea, and we said, take about a minute.
Right.
We gave up on the minute part.
Oh yeah, that was
pretty,
gonna be over.
Pretty fast.
Yeah,
we couldn't
steamrolled
keep
Wolf you both on that one.
Well, when it really aired,
was back in the day when ratings mattered.
When it really aired back in the day, there was actually a commercial break in the middle.
Our ratings were a lot better.
There was a commercial break in the middle, but Mitch just edited it together. That's how long that was. So they had to actually condense it. Back then there was
back when we were pulling eights.
Turn it to a podcast. I don't know.
Paul, go ahead and reschedule your time.
I just resent the fact that you're saying that my Christian Kirk comp to Tyler Lockett, there's no reason Christian Kirk can't be as effective and as polished and as productive a receiver as Tyler Lockett.
I remember standing on the sideline in Houston when Texas A&M played ASU, thinking, who was that when he came running by me on a punt return?
Right.
And then when I realized, oh, it's the kid from the east side that ASU didn't get. Was fast then.
You have to understand what a DB, what happens to a DB when he lines up over a guy that's running a sub-4-3. You have to understand it mentally. It wears on you, and you know it, and you back off. You give a guy a lot of room who's running a 4-3. It's the reason why Henry Ruggs III was drafted before any of the other wide receivers coming out of college, because of his speed and what it does to you.
How many DBs are now freaked out about DK Metcalf more than they already were just by him running down a DB?
Unbelievable.
Doug, a few years ago on the TV side, we went to go get some B-roll, some video footage of Mark Andrews and Kyle Allen, the teammates at Desert Mountain, and they had this passing league game in Scottsdale, and they're like, yeah, and that kid's really good too. I don't know. I'm like, well, who's that guy? And I'm looking, because he's 5'9". I'm like, and then you watch Christian Kirk run, and he torched everyone on that field for the next hour? That was my first introduction to Christian Kirk.
Coming up next, the best sounds of Week 7 in the NFL, and the one you've got to hear? Jared.
Here we go.
Jared's not happy.
Jared Tall.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Super Yacht.
Hey, turn this up.
You
I should have known. If you haven't done it yet, you got about 10 more minutes to do it. Get your text in right now. Text GATE to 620-620. And if you do so, we might be calling your name in about 15 minutes, 12 or 15 minutes, as today is another day where we're giving you a great new barbecue grill, an Arizona Sports cornhole set, and an exclusive invitation into the Arizona Sports virtual tailgate. It's all presented by Four Peaks Brewing Company. Four Peaks, home of 8th Street Ale, which doesn't get promoted enough, even though Kitlifter is really good. Just an opinionated statement, by the way, on 8th Street Ale.
I see.
I think 8th Street Ale is delicious. But having said that, get your text in, and in the next 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we'll pull a name coming up at 7:32. And if it's not your name, don't worry, because if that guy or that woman doesn't call in, you can steal their prize. So make sure you're listening all through the 7:30 beautiful part of the program. If you stay with us right now, you get to hear Jared as part of Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. Soundgarden with Doug and Wolf.
This is when Maloney drives and takes a look at all of the games from the weekend that you've got to know about, but not just a wrap-up or an update, with actual sound from the people involved, and we play some good music behind it.
So the Cowboys fell to the Washington football team 25-3. And if that wasn't enough for Dallas, Cowboys defensive coordinator Mike Nolan's rough season took another bad turn yesterday.
Obviously, the frustration for him as well is just, you know, look, when he misses them, nobody, whoops, excuse me, I got something in my eye. Just had some Tabasco on my finger and it went in my eye. That wasn't good. Oh, it's terrible. Jeez, I'm sorry.
All right, we're back. Jory, I guess.
Forgive me, I'm sorry. I don't remember the question. If you give it to me again.
That was him walking away.
Just couldn't get any worse right now for the Dallas Cowboys, honestly, right now. Poor Mike Nolan. Couldn't get any worse for this defensive coordinator, this legendary defensive coordinator.
I don't know why he's legendary.
Then this morning, Jerry Jones was on 105.3 The Fan. Because, Wolf, you asked, can it get worse?
Does your team have a leadership void?
We're in the offensive line. Where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no. Shut up and let me answer. No.
Jerry, when you go into the locker room, what I'm asking is, do you see the intangibles?
You're not asking me that. I gave you the answer. When I go into the locker room, there's no leadership void in my eyes.
Okay.
Now that's your answer.
Jer, tall time, isn't it? Just honestly, right now, every time he says something, Mal, I was just talking to you about this. Every time he says something right now, it is high times. Highly entertaining, is it not?
Kind of circumcising the mosquito.
Exactly right. He's just, what is going on right now? It's unraveling down in Big D. Boy, it does not look good. Right down to rubbing habanero in your eye.
So the Falcons could have won their second consecutive game if Todd Gurley would have gone down before scoring an ill-fated touchdown that left the Lions enough time to come back and win the game. Matt Stafford actually said in his post-game that they were trying to let Gurley score. So what does Gurley have to say about that?
First of all, if I wanted to score, we was going to score anyway. So, like, it is what it is. I should have went down, you know. So, but we was going to, I should have scored. I shouldn't have scored.
This always drives me crazy, Basin. I mean, just score. Just go ahead. Are you kidding me? That's what you're trying to do, is score. I don't care about that. Just score the touchdown. And then expect your defense to go out on the field and shut it down. Just do that. How about you play football? Your job is to score a touchdown. Score a touchdown. I'm never going to tell a guy, go ahead, take a knee. Go ahead, lay down. Never going to do that, man. Score the touchdown. Expect your defense to go out and make a play.
The thing I don't like about this topic with Todd Gurley is I think it makes sense that he takes a knee. But keep in mind, they weren't winning. they were actually losing and we're going to kick the field goal. Well, are you now guaranteeing me, hello, Zane Gonzalez, first kick in overtime? Are you guaranteeing they were going to make that kick? How, if they miss the kick, how many people are screaming at Todd Gurley, why didn't you just score on that? Listen, if you're up by a point, I kind of get it. Take a knee. But it's not the no-brainer that everyone makes it out to be. And I hate to ever agree with Wolf, but it's totally true. Why isn't the defense being scolded as much in Atlanta as Todd Gurley is?
Yes. You know what was amazing about it, though? Watching the Lions players say, it's a touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Thanks to a fast start and scores on their first four possessions, the Steelers outlasted a Titans fourth quarter comeback to remain undefeated. Here's Ben Roethlisberger.
We did. I think we scored on the opening drive, so you got everyone can stop talking about scoring on opening drives and things like that. But you know, I came into this game and told Coach Tomlin we're going to take the ball. We're not going to defer. We knew that they'd probably defer, so we knew we were going to have the ball first. And we told the guys last night, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have the ball. Let's go down the field. We knew. Our top 10, obviously, was going to be a lot of throws. You know, put together a pretty complete drive there on that first drive.
He seems a little angry about the stat about they haven't scored on their first drive yet.
Like I said, from week one, based on onions, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is what makes them the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. Undefeated and rolling. So physical at the point of attack on both sides of the ball right now. Their rush defense is excellent. They're the number one defense in the National Football League. They're number one in sacks per attempt. You just look at it over and over and over again. This team will shut you down. Why? Because they got really tough physical players.
Minka.
Are you kidding me? They flat out ball. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
Justin Herbert threw for a career-high 347 yards and three touchdowns while adding another touchdown on the ground as the Chargers beat the Jaguars 39-29. So why isn't he praising his quarterback? Here's head coach Anthony Lynn.
I don't know what the hell I do when I'm talking to my quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? I may praise them, you know, when we're having one-on-ones or whatever, but after games and press conferences, no, I haven't praised anybody in the last 4 weeks because we haven't won. I haven't praised myself. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way it is. It's never good enough. But, yeah, we won. He got his first victory today, and I'm so happy for him that he got his first win. But we needed that win as a team. I'm happy for the team right now.
Number one, Soundgarden way too often is becoming Maloney slips in a Herbert reference.
Well, duh, when he's playing that well.
Number two, I totally
Wolf
believe.
Wolf brought it up in show prep.
I totally believe that if Joe Burrow and Herbert fall on their face, Tua isn't starting this weekend. I think there's a little bit from the Dolphins of, hey, those two are ready. It's time to go to Tua as well.
I really hate to admit this because I thought Justin Herbert was going to be...
Turn off his mic.
Christian Ponder. I thought it was going to be mic. Christian Ponder. I mean, I can't... Stop it, please. I thought he was not going to have a successful NFL career, and I watch him now. And although it takes years to become a franchise quarterback, because it's not just what you do on the field, it's what you do off the field, and it's what kind of leader you are, it's all the intangibles that you can't measure that make a franchise quarterback a franchise quarterback. Isn't that right, Jay Cutler? We don't know what the future holds, but right now for Justin Herbert, it looks really, really good. Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. Watching them play right now, if they develop all the intangibles, they're going to be franchise quarterbacks and good ones.
As long as Burrow doesn't die. We got time for one more.
So Cam Newton had another rough day as the Patriots fell to the 49ers 33-6. So what's going on with the Patriots quarterback?
Nervous? No. Scared? Absolutely not. Thinking? Now that's something that I could, you know, probably finger point. But yet... There's no need to feel any type of way besides accepting all challenges, and I have to get better. I and I'm adamant about it.
So then, what's next for New England? Does Bill Belichick plan on having Newton as his starting quarterback moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. Just want to get still a little experience here.
I got to tell you, I don't know what's going on, and he's totally denied it. But Cam Newton pre-COVID and Cam Newton post-COVID are two totally different quarterbacks. He was an MVP, but he was having a really good year before he tested positive. And ever since then,
He's not an NFL quality quarterback.
So much more to say about this, ladies and gentlemen. So little time, but Cam Newton, to me, showed an awful lot of leadership, and hopefully we'll talk about it at some point before we get off the air.
Coming up next, two things. A, we might announce your name if you texted GATE to 620-620. If you want to win a grill and a cornhole set, listen, coming up after the SportsCenter update, and then after that, the locker room halftime, how it might have changed the season of the Arizona Cardinals. That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate. It's your cue to call.
All right. The chance to win. An invitation into the Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate presented by Four Peaks. A chance to win a $700 barbecue grill. And a chance to win a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set for the ladies in the house today.
Nice.
Karen Asaro from Phoenix, you are officially on the clock. Karen Asaro.
602-260-9870.
Karen, we said your name at 7:34, so you got till 7:44 to call in. If Karen doesn't call within 10 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines and you can take it from Karen. So Karen has to call 602-260-9870 and prove that she's Karen. Do not call if you are not Karen Asaro, because we will easily be able to figure it out, because we have all of Karen's information and only Karen knows it. If she calls in 10 minutes, barbecue grill, Arizona Sports cornhole set, and the Arizona Sports virtual tailgate invitation, all thanks to Four Peaks. If she doesn't, make sure you're listening in the next beautiful part of the program, because you just take it from her. We'll tell you how to do that coming up at about 7:47. Right now, that feels pretty good.
Oh, gross.
One of the big topics that needs to be talked about in a more of a grand scheme, we did it a lot yesterday when we looked at the 9 million yards of offense and all the points scored by Seattle in the first half, and then the shutdown performance by the Cardinals' defense in the second half. We talked more about it on just a Sunday Night Football platform, but it's now officially time to talk about the ramifications of that second half for the rest of the season, of what that does for the Arizona Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury was asked yesterday, what specifically did you do at halftime?
I think a combination of things. I mean, just talking about what those chunk plays were and how we're going to get it addressed and get it handled. And then guys just locking in and understanding, hey, the only way we're getting back in this game is to do these certain things. And I thought we did a nice job of making that adjustment and holding that offense to 7 points in the half was pretty phenomenal.
You always talk about chemistry between like a play caller and this quarterback, and how much goes into the quarterback feeling comfortable with this or with that. You couldn't help but get the feeling in that second half that these are situations where Vance Joseph was always prepared for, but maybe didn't have the trust that they could do it.
And that's a good point.
How do you know that this might be a new dawning of the defense under Vance Joseph the rest of the year?
Here's the one thing we do know, right? We know what happened in the first half, and we know what happened in the second half. How many points were scored, Doug Lease, in the first half? 27. How many in the second half?
Seven.
Okay, and the overtime period, 10 more minutes. I mean, think about that right there. How many points were scored in the first, and how many points were scored in the second half? Okay, we all understand that. That's the difference. So what actually did we see as well? What we saw, Basinonians, is not nearly the amount of pressure packages and the 5- and 6-man pressures and blitzes that were brought in the second half as opposed to the first half. We saw a lot of vanilla for the most part in that first half. I'm not saying all they did is go with a 4-man rush. I'm not saying that. But I will tell you, I don't remember a 6-man rush, a blitz.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that the first half. I remember a 5-man, a handful of times, a 5-man pressure in the first half. But in that second half, there's no doubt about it. They dialed it up, and they started blitzing as well in some rundown situations.
Birds and Gambos from 2 to 6. Yesterday, they had safety Buda Baker on the show, and they just asked him,
what changed at halftime that made the second half go that way?
I mean, honestly, guys just needed to settle down, you know. There was blown coverages, and, you know, the Seattle Seahawks were, you know, doing their plays. They, of course, did also have, you know, a few plays that we haven't seen before and we haven't seen on film, so kudos to them. But just us fighting, sticking to our tools that Vince and, you know, his staff has gave us, and, you know, it was good.
A lot of the players and coaches aren't.
That is a classic answer right there. That's speaking median.
So many of them, and Cliff Kingsbury did it too. I mean, so many of them are talking about what went wrong individually in the first half and just leaving it at that. No one is giving any specific. I have not heard anybody give specifics and say we did a lot of blitz bail. We decided to do that. Nobody is saying what they actually did. Everyone's saying that they clean things up, and yet even the below-average fan, even if you're the type of person that just likes beer and peanuts and you just want to hear about the final score and you really don't know anything about the game,
so good.
You could tell, wait a minute, there's a lot of Cardinals on the line of scrimmage. There's a lot of people doing different things, even if you didn't know what they were doing.
Absolutely right, Douglas, right there. That is a masterful job by Buda Baker speaking median. Where you answer the question without saying anything.
He didn't say anything.
Buddha, I tip my cap to you, my brother, because that is what every professional athlete needs to be able to do. Speak median. The language of answering the question without answering the question. That is a beautiful. Obfuscation is what comes to mind. Isn't that right? That's what Jerry was trying to do. That's that.
We don't have a leadership problem.
That was what Jera was trying to do, is actually, you know what, obfuscation. Speak median. Answer the question without saying anything. And Jerry just made it worse. But that is it clearly. We all know what happened in that second half. There was a lot more smoke. There was a lot more mirror. There was a lot more obfuscation. And it confused Russell Wilson. There's no denying, did it not, Isaiah Simmons? Mm. It confused him.
Like, the defense had the illusion of complexity sometime. Character Counts time here with Doug and Wolf. It's brought to you by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical every Tuesday morning at 7:41. We like to highlight some young man or woman student in the state of Arizona on what they're doing, especially in the coronavirus world that just builds character. And that certainly goes for one high schooler, Abigail Gar, a senior at, I don't even know how to say this, hopefully I don't butcher this, at Tank Verde High School in Tucson. If you know your Tucson high schools, and I admit I don't, she's a competitive jump roper. But she decided there was a lot more she can do, and through her work with National Honor Society, she started this really cool buddy program for fourth graders to be able to meet virtually with high school students so they could know what's upcoming in their lives, get to know some high schoolers, and have somebody to talk to. And that's what she put together. She also implemented a project that encourages people to record themselves reading books on video so teachers can present to kindergartners and first grade students. That way you're showing the importance of reading. She says, I love giving back to people in the community, and I felt sad that I wasn't able to actually see anyone or go anywhere to help people in person. So over the summer, I planned a couple projects like this to hit the ground running when we came back, because I missed helping people so much.
This says so much about all parties involved, does it not, Abigail? Just the fact that you would befriend somebody else. This is one of the most important programs in our education system, the buddy system, where you'll get older students mentoring younger students. So important.
Her plans, even though she's in high school, she wants to give back by being a doctor, and she plans on attending Notre Dame and going to med school. And she's also helped deliver lunches for homeless teens in Tucson, as well as creating care packages for service men and women overseas. That's what she does. Oh, she's also a youth group member and at her church.
Love is the more perfect way.
Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical, proud partner of Character Counts, awards a $10,000 scholarship to a deserving student-athlete in our area. If you know of any student who deserves recognition from the Doug and Wolf Show and from all of us here at Arizona Sports, please text us. Text CHARACTER to 620-620.
Well done, Abigail.
Coming up next, we find out whether Karen's done well and earned herself a grill or if you can steal it from her. And the latest on Kenyon Drake, that's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Steal a grill.
The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate.
First things first, we got to find out if you have an opportunity to call in right now and steal a grill.
Steal you don't. A grill.
She called.
She did?
Oh, Karen.
Wow.
You beast.
Karen Asaro called in. And how long did it take? Did we set any records?
A record amount of people called in that were not Karen.
We're trying to steal
interesting.
It.
Interesting.
But probably 2 minutes.
Took her two minutes.
2 minutes.
Karen. There's no way Burns and Gambo had somebody call in 2 minutes the whole time they did it. So we just dominated Burns and Gambo.
Yes, Karen.
So we're 2 for 2, and Luke called in pretty fast yesterday, and now Karen called in 2 minutes. So you cannot steal Karen's grill. So Karen has won a $700 barbecue grill thanks to Four Peaks Brewing Company, Drink the 8th Street, and an Arizona Sports cornhole set as well. Plus, she's going to get an exclusive code to join an Arizona Sports virtual tailgate, not this weekend because it's the bye weekend,
nice,
but coming up next weekend for the Miami Dolphins game. If you are a little jealous of Karen, you should be because it's a cool grill if you haven't seen it, then all you have to do is text GATE to 620-620 and listen for your name tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning.
Hey, hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
Impossible not to sing that right there.
I wish I could sing.
Robert.
Make you burn or make you stay.
We got a pair of sweats. We'd like you to put these on.
Hey, baby, when you walk that way, watch Haunted Trip can't keep away.
I mean, honestly, Robert, put the sweats on, please.
I got to tell you, if there's ever another, like, if there's an actual prize worthy of competing for in a March Madness tournament here at the station, the punishment of having your picture taken in skinny jeans would be kind of funny.
Yeah, no, yeah, these were not skinny jeans, ladies and gentlemen.
And Robert Plant jeans.
Robert Plant jeans.
It'd be entertaining.
Please, next.
Next is not good, but a lot better than we thought.
I'm told that Kenyon Drake has a high ankle sprain, a ligament issue in his ankle, going to keep him off the field for a few weeks. We'll see if this is more of the four-week variety or more of the six-week variety, but at the least, he's going to miss time. The real question here is he going to be placed on injured reserve? It's just 3 games this year. Certainly something that would be possible where they would fill his roster spot. That is the next question for the Arizona Cardinals, but Chase Edmonds has been good all year, has been coming on as of late, so he is likely going to get an extended run here for Arizona.
This really stinks for Kenyon Drake, of course, right? Because Kenyon Drake, by the way, very productive. Even now, when we sit here and we talk about, oh my goodness, Kenyon Drake, he's got to run the ball in a more north-south fashion, and that's true. There's no doubt about that. But Kenyon Drake was in the top 5 in rushing yards in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. Did you know that, my brothers?
I did because of last week.
You're right.
But
exactly.
I wouldn't have known that if
you would not have thought that, right? And yet Kenyon Drake was being productive even then. And this is something that has got to continue with the Arizona Cardinals. The trend I want to see in the second half of the season, especially when they get Max Williams back as a tight end, hopefully after the bye, they get him back, and suddenly Max is going to be out there in 11 personnel with those 3 wide receivers and Max Williams as your tight end, and then the running back, Chase Edmonds, run the ball and throw the ball out of that personnel group in rundown situation, 1st and 10, 2nd and 1 to 6. It's going to be huge.
I want to give a
quick recantation on something Maloney just let me know about that I didn't know. We're still doing the Four Peaks virtual tailgate coming up this weekend.
Okay.
I thought it was just with Cardinals games. And it's just, hey, it's a football weekend, so let's do the virtual tailgate.
A football weekend.
So congratulations to her for Karen for winning that as well. So you do get that this weekend. More specifically to your point with Kenyon Drake, I wonder – anytime it's a high ankle sprain, it's almost always 3 to 6 weeks. You get off of this week, you get home against Buffalo, you get home against Miami, home against Buffalo. That's a 3 week time frame before a short week against Seattle. High ankle sprains are rarely the 3 week variety, rarely, especially when you looked at the way he reacted to the injury. But, man, to come back on a short week when your running back room is going to be tired to be able to get that juice of having Drake be able to come back for that game, that would be really nice. And then on top of it, you would have then the mini bye for him to have another 10 days to recover before the trip to New England. I hope he can come back then.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on that. Listen, Chase Edmonds is very capable of holding it down. Chase Edmonds is an excellent running back. He's an excellent football player. I still go back to the day he was a rookie, and I was there at the press conference, right, and he was talking about playing special teams, and I asked him a question. I said, Chase, how do you know? How do you know that you're going to be good in transition? How do you know you're going to be a good special teams player? And he said, sir, I'm a football player. That's one of the best answers I've ever heard. I'm a football player. That's why he knew he was going to be good. Man, truer words have never been spoken, because that's exactly what Chase Edmonds is. This is a guy that plays the game, and he plays it in a very physical, very tough way. And that's the reason I'm concerned, is because he's not the biggest guy on the field. And he's willing to throw his body around. He's going to take a lot of shots. That's got me concerned. That means, who do you have also behind Chase Edmonds who can help split that load? Man, speaking of a load, you know what I'd love to see, Doug Lease, more than anything else? If there was one player that the Arizona Cardinals could add to the roster right now, one player, you know what I'd like to see?
Ryan Kerrigan.
No, I'd like to see a running back that's about 235 pounds. About 240
you meant a body
pounds.
Type.
I'm talking about a guy, a running back, 6 foot. Give me the guy who's 6 foot 235. Give me that guy, 6 foot 240. Not going to be running a 4.4. Not going to be running a 4.5 maybe. But give me the guy that's a first down maker. Give me a guy who's going to stick it in there. I'd love to see that, right? A change-up back for the Arizona Cardinals, where the Cardinals could get physical. Isn't that right, Malcolm Brown? Where the Cardinals could get physical. A guy that is going to stick his face and run somebody over. Man, wouldn't that be really, really cool? Have a back that ran the ball in between the tackles in a very north-south physical way. I'm not just talking about 202-pound Kenyon Drake. I'm talking about 230, 235, 240. I'm talking about a fire hydrant with lips.
Carson.
What do you mean? Well, yeah, Chris Carson. There's a guy, 5'11", 222. But can you imagine a guy? I want a guy that puts the fear into you.
By the way, I do have to correct you. I realize I'm not taking anything away from Chase Edmonds' answer. I'm sure that really got you, and it was wonderful and all, but it wasn't the best answer somebody gave you when you're trying to get to know a young rookie player for the Cardinals.
What do you mean?
That was when you asked second-round pick Kevin Minter if he really feels comfortable sticking, as you said, his fan in the fire and playing physical football.
I play in the ACC.
Said, I played in the SEC,
That's
sir.
Right, Kevin Mentor, the
like,
centaur.
How dare you ask me that question? I played in the SEC, sir.
That's right, he did say that.
That was awesome.
I was in the, will you, you stick know your I face in? I was like Bill Davis right there talking to Isaiah Simmons. I was like Bill Davis. I was like, will you stick your face in the fire?
Consider yourself.
Will you stick your face into the fire? Will you do that? Stick it into the fan. I played the SEC, sir.
It was awesome.
It was a great answer. No doubt about it.
Coming up next, the Cardinals have their bye week.
I hear you.
So what needs to happen while they're off?
The centaur.
One of the best questions of the year was asked to Cliff Kingsbury, and you won't believe the answer. He's well aware. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.